Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws us to
you. Amen. It's time for testimonies. I said it's time for testimonies. Hallelujah. The Bible says God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. And I'm excited to announce to you that in this day and in this age, God is still working miracles through the anointed ministry of his servant, Prophet Doug Hayward Mills. Amen. It's a good place to put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. And as we listen to these powerful testimonies, I want you to be excited. I want you to be delighted. Because the Bible says that thy testimonies are my delight. And they are my counselors. So what is somebody's testimony today will be your testimony tomorrow. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. I want us to put our hands together for our sister Juliana. She has a very powerful testimony. Put your hands together for her. She comes upstage. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Juliana, what happened to you?
I want to testify of how I received miracle money and a pleasant surprise.
Miracle money and a pleasant surprise. Tell us, how did it happen?
Okay, since last year, I worked for an organization and I was not paid. And it's about over 3,000 Ghana cedis.
Wow.
Yes.
They had refused to pay you. And what happened when you came to church?
During the revival at 5, our prophet prophesied and said, we are going to receive miracle money and a pleasant surprise. Oh. So just last week, Thursday, the administrator called me to the office. And the truth of the matter is that there are other people who have to be paid wild monies. You understand? And I was called to the office and she apologized profusely.
The same people who didn't want to pay you.
Yes, please.
They called you and started apologizing to you.
Yes.
And what did they say?
And they said that they are going to pay all my monies. Oh. Now. Yes.
I see you receiving any breakthrough you are looking for this week. You see, you may not understand the miracle. But there are lots of people who owe money, they don't pay. A lot of people who owe money in Ghana here, they don't pay. They had decided not to pay her since last year. Over 3,000 Ghana cedis. And maybe you don't know this young lady. She was about to get married. She needed money.
Yeah.
Yes, she needed a breakthrough in her life. Wait, are you happy about this miracle?
I'm excited.
Yes,
ecstatic.
Yes, she needed a breakthrough. But when she came for the prophetic encounter service, the prophet prophesied into her life, you are receiving miracle money and a pleasant surprise. And it happened practically. Wow, what do you have to tell us?
In fact, I want to say that the prophecies are working. The prophecies of our prophet are working practically in our lives, because I really, really needed the money. My husband and I have been expectant. So the prophet is prophesying and his prophecies are working in our lives.
Wow, put your hands together for a powerful testimony. The prophecy you believe, I said the prophecy you believe is the prophecy you will receive. Put your hands together. Let's welcome our sister Stacy as she testifies of wonderful miracle God did in her life. Wow, majestic steps. I see you taking majestic steps in Jesus' name. What happened to you, Stacy?
I want to testify about how God helped me pass my law school entrance exams through the prophecies of our prophet.
Wow, how did it happen?
Okay, so in July, we wrote this exam, and it was a very terrifying experience for me because over 1,400 of us wrote the exam. And as I was seated in the exam hall, I could see big men coming in to write the exams with us. Doctors, businessmen, several people came to write with us. Sitting with big men. So it was a very terrifying experience. But last 3 weeks when we came to church, the prophet prophesied that all forms of elimination and exams that take us out of the exam or take us out of the competition, we are escaping from those kind of...
What did the prophet prophesy?
Prophesied that we are escaping from all forms of elimination.
All forms
exams.
Of elimination through exams. I see you escaping every elimination. This is the Ghana Law School exam we are talking about. She said over 1,400 people sat the exam. And how many people were shortlisted?
627 were shortlisted.
And you were part of the 625. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Have any friends who are not shortlisted?
I have friends who are not shortlisted.
Do you have colleagues who are not shortlisted?
I have colleagues who are not
shortlisted. The difference between this girl and her friends was that she was at the prophetic encounter service. She encountered the ministry of a prophet. Today you are encountering a prophet in Jesus' name. Every hindrance in your life will be taken back in the name of Jesus. Wow.
Mr. Paul, that is not all. There was another stage of elimination.
There was another stage of elimination.
Yes. That was the interview stage. We went for the interview and we learned that several colleagues of ours were being tricked. They were asking them very tricky questions. The judges were asking very tricky questions. But I got in and I had a very smooth interview. I could not even answer one of the questions, but it went smoothly all the same. I was not asked any tricky question and I came out successful. Out of the 627 people, 524 of us were picked, and I am one of those.
She was part of the people! Chosen to go to the law school. Hallelujah. Whatever exam you are sitting this week, whatever interview you are going for this week, as the prophet prophesies, receive your breakthrough in Jesus' name. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. God bless you, Stacy. What a wonderful testimony. I want us to put our hands together as we welcome Cynthia as she testifies of the goodness of God. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe that prophets speak and they come to pass? That is the mark of a true prophet. What happened to you, Cynthia?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to testify about how God healed a 3-year-old boy through the power of the Holy Communion.
Through the power of the
Holy Communion.
Wow, tell us, how did it happen?
My sheep has a 3-year-old boy who hadn't walked since birth.
Mercy.
In fact, all effort was made to make this boy walk by all proof footer. So I decided that I would take communion to this little boy every Sunday after church.
Wow.
So I've been doing that for some time. But anytime I'm not able to take it, I ask my sheep to take it on my behalf.
And what happened?
So one day I went there to pay them a visit, as I usually do. But anytime I go down, I'll see this boy lying down, looking into my face, at time he'll be crawling. Maybe if I don't see him, maybe he's sleeping or something. But this very day when I went there, I didn't see the boy. So I asked of the mom. I asked the mom, where is the child? So they said the child has walked to a neighbor's room.
Hey, so the child who couldn't walk. The child who couldn't walk had walked to a neighbor's house. I see you receiving your miracle in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, one prophet stands here and he's administering the Holy Communion. The Bible says the cup of blessing which we bless. You see, this lady could have taken communion in the house, but it is not blessed. But when you come to the prophetic encounter service, the cup of blessing which we bless, it is the communion of the body of Christ. Immediately it begins to communicate what happened when Jesus died, was buried, and he resurrected. That is why the boy is walking, because he bore our sicknesses and carried our sorrows. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I see you receiving your miracle in the name of Jesus. Let us put our hands together and salute the prophets of this house. What a blessing. Had the parents tried means to make this boy walk.
Yes, please.
Have they made efforts?
In fact, they bought wooden car. That wooden car with three tires.
And what again?
It didn't work. They took him to hospital. All sorts of drug. Nothing worked.
What the wooden car could not do? What drugs could not do? What hospitals could not do? What doctors could not do? Prophetic power is doing it. I see the prophetic power working in your life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. Amen. As you hear these testimonies, you have to be advised. The testimonies are your counselors. You have to advise yourself. I cannot come to this service and live the same. I want us to receive our final testimony. Put your hands together. Let's receive our sister Noella as she testifies of the miracle God did for her. Hallelujah. Noella, amen. What happened?
I want to testify of how God healed my mom of end-stage renal disease.
Also healed your mom of what?
End-stage renal disease.
End-stage renal disease.
Also known as kidney failure.
Kidney failure.
Yeah.
Wow. Tell us, how did it happen?
So last year, in May 26th, my mom fell very, very ill. And at a point, the doctor said she wouldn't survive because she went into coma and all that. And so we had to transfer her to Kolebu upon several investigations. They said she had to start, she had to be put on dialysis as soon as possible. And we had to sign a contract to actually start the dialysis. And it cost 260 Ghana Cedi per session.
Per one session of the dialysis.
Yes. And she had to do this.
You see, when somebody is giving their testimony, you will not understand. Sickness puts a strain on the whole family. They have to pay 260 cedis thrice a week because the mother is sick. Renal what?
End-stage renal failure. Kidney
failure. End-stage renal failure. It's wild. And tell us what happened when it came to
and
church.
It was so complicated, but then I decided to believe God. And then despite everything, I kept coming to church every Sunday. And I believed that God would heal my mom because I heard of several testimonies people had given. And then every Sunday, I took the communion to my mom, both at the hospital. Even
you
when
took
she was
the communion to your mom?
At the hospital.
At the hospital.
Yes, medical ward, Kolebu. And every time before her drugs, after eating, I'll give her the communion. I'll tell her that my pastor is very powerful, so she should believe it.
Hey.
And she should take the communion.
Hey.
And she also believed it, and she took the communion. We went home, she kept taking the communion. I kept taking it every Sunday. And I even stopped our faith with the communion. So every time after meals, I'll give her the communion. She believed in it.
And what happened to your mom?
Last month, we went for dialysis as usual. And it was also time for her monthly checkup. So they asked us to do a lab test on her kidneys, which is a bucreatinine test. And when we did the test, and we took the results to the doctor. The doctor was like, is this actually her result? And I said, yes.
That is her result.
That's her result.
What was on the result?
The result showed that her kidneys were okay. Her creatinine went low.
Her kidneys were okay. Her kidneys were okay. You didn't guess me. Her kidneys were okay. Hallelujah. When the prophet stands there and he's speaking, and he says, whatever cannot be found in the body of Jesus cannot be found in you. You have to believe it. Jesus cannot be admitted in the hospital for end stage renal. No. I see you receiving your miracle in Jesus' name. Wow.
And the doctor was like, this is actually her lab result, then there's no need to dialyze any longer.
Did they do any further tests?
Yes, I actually did the test. I work in the lab, so I actually did the test in the hospital I worked in. The doctor was like, no, let's repeat it somewhere else. So he drew her blood, and we took it to another laboratory. Lancet. It's
and
a very popular lab. And he said that the results are this. The result was the same, but there was no difference.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Has your mom been to the hospital for dialysis?
My mom has been off dialysis for 4 weeks now, and she's stable, she's fine, there is happiness, there is joy in the house, and we're so excited.
Why don't you put your hands together for such a powerful testimony? Today you are receiving your own testimony in Jesus' name. Today you are receiving your own breakthrough in Jesus' name. Noella, what do you have to tell somebody who is in this service for the first time? Sleeping in her room, her friend invited her to come for the prophetic encounter service. What do you have to tell such a person?
If today is your first time in the First Love Church, I want to tell you that there is a powerful thing in this house. Believe in the communion. Believe in the prayers. Miracles happen. I have experienced it. My family has experienced it, and you will experience it.
Oh, put your hands together for a powerful testimony. I see you receiving your believe in the Lord and you will be preserved. But believe in his prophets and so shall you prosper. I see you receiving your prosperity in Jesus' name. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. Put your hands together as we receive a powerful ministration. Hallelujah. Amen.
Edified. Hallelujah. It's time to give a powerful offering. Take out a very good offering this Sunday morning. Decide to honor the Lord with good substance and lift up your offering high above your head as we pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing to be in your house. Even as we give this offering, bless this seed that we are given in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, please receive the offering.
See you.
trust you and breathe. Feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it is more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's so
on the ground. God, make me the preaching. That's when I knew the seed had fallen among the thorns. I don't want to be a wayside ground. I don't want to be a thorny ground. I don't want to be a stony ground. Lord, make me a good ground, a very good ground. Cause I don't want to be a wayside ground. I don't want to be a thorny ground. I don't want to be a stony ground. God, make me a good ground, a very, very good ground. Whoa. Jesus is the sower of the seed. Jesus comes to you.
Yeah, we'll love to see.
break up of my relationship. That's what's on my heart today. I cannot get over the feeling. Yeah. So many lessons I have learned. I have learned that if you love, then you will give. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have learned that if you love, you will communicate. He said to me, if you love me, then you will smile.
You love someone, you give your best. shadows in my bedroom. I want a life of peace and joy. Whoa. I want your help every step of the way. As I propose to my beloved tonight, when I see her, I'll say,
listen, there are so many different kinds of Amen. Are you happy to be in church today? I can't hear you. Are you happy to be in church today? Well, I tell you, I can already feel the anointing all over this place. And I was struck by the wonderful testimonies. And I believe different types of testimonies from different people, from different walks of life, but all from the same ministry, from the same prophet. And the scripture on my heart this morning is Proverbs 23 and 18, which says, your expectation is what will not be cut off. Can I have an amen? And this morning, even though there are thousands of people here, it is your expectation that will not be cut off. And I believe that this morning, God has sent us a prophet. I don't know which issue you came with. I don't know which breakthrough you need. I don't know which direction you are believing God for. I don't know which word you need to hear. But I tell you, whatever your expectation is, the Lord says today that through the ministry of the prophet, you will not be cut off. The word says, I have spoken by my prophet. And today, the Lord will speak to you through the ministry of his prophet. And if you expect a miracle, to speak to you, if you expect God's word to come into your mind, lift up your hands, lift up your voice, open your heart and celebrate the gift of God, the prophet.
Many miracles in our lives today. Thank you that none of us will go back the same.
Receive it.
Thank you that we are not governed by what is happening in this world or in Ghana or wherever we are, but we are governed by your power. Rule in our lives, Lord. Lead in our lives. Bring us to an expected end.
Receive
in the name of Jesus. We give you thanks.
Yes, Lord.
We give you thanks. We thank you that your presence is here. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Wow. Are you glad you are in church?
Yes, we are glad.
Beautiful. Now this morning, or afternoon, whatever, doesn't really matter. Today we are here. We are looking at the spiritual powers that release financial wealth or prosperity. The spiritual powers. And I want you to really, really try hard. You know, I was listening to somebody preaching, and I could see that what I needed to do was to listen to what the person was saying and believe what the person was saying, especially the small points. Sometimes when you come to church, you can hear the pastor is trying to say something, and it looks like, it almost looks like what he's saying cannot happen. But I want you to know that it can happen.
Amen.
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 Now, I want you to really try your very best in this service to believe and believe in supernatural help. Now, if you have a big house and you are sad in the house, have you prospered?
No.
If you have a lot of money but you can't spend it, have you prospered? What is the use of bread you cannot eat? What is the use of a car you cannot drive? You see, so you must believe in the word of God and in God's power to really help your life. Amen. Now, I don't normally talk about much about money in the church. There are two topics which have been over-emphasized to the point of making them into almost false doctrines. The two topics are the topic of money and the topic of marriage. Yeah. It has made money more important than it is. Money is not so important. And marriage also so important, and it is not so important. And our ideas about these two things are affecting us as Christians. In the Bible, you know, none of these, they are mentioned, there's so much of it. Everything about Jesus is supernatural. Just walking, he sees a tree, he speaks to it, and all that. Everything is supernatural. He needs a donkey, say, go here. Anybody who asks, you say, I need it. It's very supernatural. Almost everything is miraculous. You know? So, God is very supernatural and miraculous, but it is human for us to overemphasize something to the point that it's almost like a bad thing. You get it? Because Christ and God is not money. And that is also not marriage. People have overemphasized, especially Americans, overemphasize the importance of marriage. In the Bible, it was not so important. There are some rules. That is not as they make it. Yes. God is more important than all that, than even your marriage. That you love God and you serve God is more important. Yes. A lot of people, that's why Jesus said, anyone who comes and hates not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, you know, it cannot be my desire. So God is above that, will always be. You get it? Yes. And serving him is also above that. So don't make a mistake. I'm just saying this because I'm trying to put it in context for what I'm about to prophesy over your life.
Prophesy.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Psalm 45. Psalm 45. My heart is indicting a good matter. In other words, my heart is excited about something good.
Hallelujah.
Is your heart also excited about something
good? Yes, our hearts are excited.
Amen. I speak of the things which I have made touching or concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Beautiful. My tongue is the writer. Verse 2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God has blessed thee forever. One of the keys right there is one of the keys of prosperity. Grace is poured into thy lips. It's not only being beautiful, but how you speak. That is why a lot of beautiful girls don't have beloveds. Because grace must be poured into your lips. Yes. Relating with somebody is not just about how beautiful you are. Because after the sexual, whatever it's called, post-ejaculation existence, after that, do you understand? You have to exist with the person. And if the person is some way, the P-E-E is not going to work. Yes. Your existence with the person is not going to be nice. So you have to not only to be fair, but your lips must be filled with grace. Grace, you must know how to talk and relate. That's why she was singing that song. It's the breakup of my relationship. You don't talk, you don't speak nicely. And it's breaking things up. Your relationship will never break in Jesus' name.
Receive it.
Beautiful. Verse 3. Get thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. In other words, he's saying, take your sword. And now, in our case, we have the word. So I want us to take the word. All right? And put a sword at the right place. And that makes you mighty. And I was looking at one young man. He's just 19 years old. He was sent out on the mission field. He had built a church. There's a lot of very young people. You see, the word of God makes you very mature. Yes, 19 years old. He's built a church with a building and everything. Sent out on a mission. God is using a lot of young people. And sometimes when you listen to a young person speaking, it's because of the extent of the word in the person. The person looks so powerful because of the sword. Yeah. You know, I was a pastor when I was 25 years old. Not appointed by anybody. 25, I was pastoring. Pastor of a church. So if you are here, you're a young person, and all you know is pornography and masturbation and so on, there are people that are into the sword. Verse 4. Now, notice, I want you to see this part. In thy majesty, ride prosperously. How many want to ride prosperously? Yes, this is what I'm talking about. Ride prosperously because he's giving you three reasons why you are going to ride prosperously. Are you seeing this? Because of truth. Truth is very important. You must love the truth. Even if you are wrong, and it's painful to be wrong, it's better to say, I am wrong, and this one is right, but I pray for mercy. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Because it's not always that you are able to go to the right side. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. In the political parties, often they are wrong. And they force themselves to defend what is wrong. Instead of saying, yeah, we know we are wrong. And we pray for mercy. You see, but with us, we must fight to be on the side of truth. So it says, ride on prosperously because of three things. Three things are going to make you ride prosperously in this life. Three things. The truth, the word, and the truth. And number two, notice it. This is your one of your memory verses. I don't know if you want this as a memory, but this is just an introduction. Because I'm prosperous. I see somebody on a horse.
I receive it.
And you are riding far. You are riding prosperously.
Prophesy.
Now, he says, ride prosperously because of truth. Number two, meekness. Humility. Yes, humility. And righteousness. Now, if you see, let's give a good, an easy example. If you see, let's say, Ida singing. If you ask me quality, best quality, I'll probably say maybe meekness. Oh, yeah. What I tell her she would do. Not other singers. That's perhaps the distinguished, not the voice. I've often pointed out to her to people who have better voices than she does. From the first day, I said, this one's voice is better than yours. This one's voice is better than yours. The characteristic of riding prosperously is there. Ride on prosperity because of truth, because of meekness. Yes. Amazing. And all companies that don't work and fail, from banks to political parties, they don't ride prosperity when they lose meekness. Yes. And not humble. Even airlines. Anything big. Churches. You see today, many charismatic churches criticize. You know, we were criticized 25 years ago by Orthodox churches. Now, in our time, we are criticizing, minus me in Jesus' name, we are criticizing prophets. So many of these prophets have bigger churches than charismatic. Bigger! They make the charismatic church look like Orthodox churches. Yes. Yeah, minus us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes. And you see, God is doing things, but unless you are meek, your prosperous ride will come to an end. But in your case, God is giving you the grace to keep that humility. And then righteousness. Doing the right thing. Trying with all your heart to do what is right. You know, the Bible says that all our righteousness are like filthy rags. So even when you are very good, filthy rags is your highest rank. Tell somebody, did you know that your highest rank is filthy rags? Yeah. So what does God expect us to do? To try. Try your very best to ride prosperously. Through truth, the word. That is why I'm giving you the word. And through this word, you will ride prosperously.
I receive
it. If you are a lady and you have all the money in the world, but all you desire is a man, which you cannot buy with 5,000.
No.
No, few men can be bought with money, I mean, like their heart. You can't, you see, a heart. Like, you see, when Ida was singing that song, it's the breakup of marriage. Everybody became calm in this room. It has a feeling that it brings. It's like we sort of feel something. Because it's like, it's something you cannot buy. A person's heart. You cannot force it. And many things we do, push it away. You do this, and it rather flies away. So you cannot. So the value of a person proposing to you is more than 100,000. Even your father may have money and say, "Man, love my daughter." Look, it is not. I mean, honestly, even after he marries you, you know. After some few months, he will say, "Look, the truth is that I have to be honest with you. Tell him, I love Igbo. I was paid to be here. I have to be honest with you. But my real love is that seamstress at the junction." Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, one of the important spiritual powers that is just only one I want to talk about is tithing. Tithing. Yeah. Now, what is tithing? Deuteronomy 26. Tithing, giving God 10%. Notice, this is where God explained what tithing was. Look at it. We are going to read it together, especially if you can see it on the screen. It will be nice. It says, "It shall be when thou art come into the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance." Okay, so now this is it. I say, God is going to give you land. All my children are land owners.
I receive it.
My children are house owners. I declare you to be a house owner in Jesus' name. Receive it.
I receive it.
Receive it.
I receive it.
Receive it.
I receive it.
And you are debt free. Sit down, because if you stand for this, I don't know what you do as we go deeper.
Go deeper, Daddy.
Look at it. 26. The land the Lord giveth thee. The land the Lord giveth thee. It's automatic. God is giving you land.
I receive it.
For an inheritance. Look, really prosperous people, hardly do you prosper from a salary. You usually prosper from this verse. It says, for an inheritance. Like things that are perpetually given to you. It's true. True. You realize you don't deserve it. It's being handed to you. Yes. And possessest it and dwellest therein. You look. I see a remote control. It's the remote control of the air conditioner in your room.
I receive it.
It is in your hand now.
I receive it.
Receive it in Jesus' name.
I receive it.
Yes. Sit down.
Professor.
You see, some of you are three in a room, four in a room. You can't believe what I'm talking about. But it will happen practically.
I receive it.
Verse 2. Now, that thou shalt take, when God gives you all. Now, you see, tithing is become more important when you are rather going higher. Because, you see, when you are down, you see, everybody who is down remembers God. Oh, God. Oh, God. All you have is 10 CDs. Here is one CD. It is when God increases you. That is when you should remember God. That's when your remembering God really affects anything. Yeah. One time I asked somebody to pay tithe. He said, "Do you know how much I earn? You want me to pay it?" I said, "Do you know how much I earn?" He must be joking. So thou shalt take, when that happens, the first of all the fruit of the earth, all, you see, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord giveth thee. I've been paying tithes since I was in form five at least. That's 1980. Since 1980, at least, because I can remember something in particular when I was advising somebody. You see, I did my O-level in 1980, and I had a friend who did A-level at the same time. And I told my friend that the results the person had wasn't so good, and it was because of tithing. The person wasn't tithing. I remember that day because I was deeply into tithing. From five. From five. That is, what is your SS? Two. A student. I didn't have a church. I was not a pastor. I'm not getting anything. I'm telling the person that you are not tithing. That's why you didn't do well. Yes. I'm not talking about my church or getting something from my church. It says, when you take the first of all fruit of all the earth, first. God is always first. God will never accept second. Somebody who made the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, you want him to be second. Then you bring of the land which the Lord giveth and put it in a basket, which in our case is an envelope. Then you shall go to the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place himself, his name there, which is here. If you look at this place, look at, the wilderness next door. The wilderness is on the way here. God hasn't chosen to place his name at any of those baller zones. He has chosen to place his name here.
Yes, Daddy.
So you put it in a basket, okay? Then you go to verse 3. And thou shalt go to the priest that shall be in those days. Yes, and I'm the priest in your life.
Yes, Daddy.
In those days. Yes, I'm the priest in those days. Is it not the priest? Is it not those days?
You're the priest.
And thou shalt say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord that I am come unto the country which the Lord swear unto our fathers for to give us. In other words, God is saying that a time is coming. This is prophetical that you say that. Do you remember you said something about a remote, a conditional remote?
Professor.
Because I saw it in the spirit. Somebody was holding a remote of an air conditioner.
Go deeper.
You were in the room.
Professor.
In your house.
Come on.
And you were pressing it. And it was coming on.
Hey.
And it was cooling you.
Hey. I receive it.
Beautiful. He said, I have come to the place which you swear to our fathers to give us. Verse 4. Then you say, and the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand and set it down before the altar. So the priest will receive it. Okay? Verse 5. And then you speak before the Lord. You speak, you say these words. You say, Lord, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. In other words, my father was from the Middle East. He was ready to die. Ready to be wiped out by Egyptians. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a great, mighty nation and populous. So you are recounting what God has done. How many of you here were ready to go to hell? All this side were ready to go to heaven. This side here. How many realized that you were ready for hell? You were well baked. Fully confirmed as a sinner. Fully. How many of you have any friend of yours that you know is dead and it's likely that he's in hell? Raise your hand. Like you have a friend. It's likely. I have a friend I used to play with and he's dead. I remember hearing the sound, the shout. Wow! I said, what is happening? So and so is dead. was almost like my best friend. I was not a Christian. No. I used to go to church, but I'm not a Christian. Verse 6. How many are glad that you are believers? We are reading the Bible. And the Egyptians even entreated us and afflicted us and laid on us hard bondage. So now you are recounting difficulties of your life. How many realize that you are experiencing some wild difficulties, which honestly, if God doesn't help you, you don't know how you can come out of it. Isn't it? Yeah. This is life. Life is not easy. If you want something easy, resign after church. Life is not easy. If you want something easy, resign as soon as we close. Verse 7. When we called to God, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction. And what else? And he looked on our labor and our oppression. When you look at our situation in Ghana, our labor and our oppression. A medical doctor is giving a testimony that he has got a space in the nurse's room. I mean, take a nurse and a doctor. In my time, a nurse, you become a nurse by doing O-level, I think. O-level. You didn't do A-level. I don't know what it is now. But a doctor will do A-level and go to medical school for 7 years and housemanship for 1 year. That's 8 years. And then specialize for 5 years. That's 13 years. And a nurse will jump from O-level straight to do 3 years nursing. 3 years and about 15 years of school. And his testimony is that he has been able to get a space in the nurse's flat, which is very small. The Lord has moved. This is his testimony. He said, God, look on our labor. All science students who are not prospering after studying science. The art students have surpassed and prospered far more than all science students.
Professor.
Hey, people who couldn't qualify for science are richer than those who suffered to learn. Can you believe it? People who did a course for 3 years, you see them at the top. Look, I saw a guy, he couldn't get any course, and he got archaeology. I saw him as the managing director of a bank. I don't want to mention the name of the bank. I said, hey, what is this? He couldn't get administration, he couldn't get law, he couldn't get, he got archaeology. Let's be serious. How many archaeologists are produced by Ghana? So we know that it's just a course that he had to do because he couldn't get any other course. And you see the bank, rich, managing director of a bank. All science students receive elevation from the Lord in Jesus'
name. I receive it.
Continue. Now the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched hand, with great terribleness and with signs and wonders. Verse 9. And he has brought us into this place and has given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. Your car will be very nice.
I receive it.
One of the common cars in this church would be Mercedes Benz.
I receive it.
I won't to say it again.
Say it again.
I say one of the common cars in this church will be Mercedes Benz.
I receive it.
I say the third time.
Say it again.
One of the common cars in this church will be Mercedes Benz.
I receive it.
Receive it in Jesus' name.
I receive it.
Yeah.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
So one day when you are sitting in the milk and honey, you don't have to say you are not paying tithes. When the Lord has done something for you, He has lifted you from Hyundai and has placed you in Mercedes Benz. All right. Next. And now, listen. I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, has given me. I brought the first fruits. You see, many people take God to be a fool. Sometimes they want a prophet to prophesy. They will bring God money. They will say, yes, something in an envelope. Please prophesy that we will win. But when they really have incomes, they don't remember God to bring 10%. Yes. You see, we don't need to do any fundraising if you are to pay your tithes. 10%. If you don't pay tithes as a poor man, you never pay tithes as a rich man. Yeah. You see, I'm telling you, I was paying tithes in Form 5. I was deeply into tithing. And then he says, look, and thou shalt place it before the Lord and worship. It's part of your worship. You know, in heaven, your offerings and your prayers are always fighting for space on the altar. Yes. Your offerings and your prayers. Because in the book of Revelation, it speaks about the incense, which is part of the offering. Incense is frankincense. It's white incense. Yes. And you see in Revelation 8, he said there was a golden altar and there was given to him much incense. Frankincense. Remember the three offerings they brought to Jesus when he was born? Frankincense, myrrh, and gold. Frankincense is white incense. So the incense, you see, having a golden censer and the incense that he should offer it, the incense with, or combine it with the prayers of the saints on the altar. So that is why when Cornelius was praying, the angel came and said to him, Cornelius, your prayers and your offerings have come up for a memorial. Like they make God remember you. The offerings you give make God, it's a type of a way of imploring God or bringing God or activating God or bringing God into your life. So prayers and incense or prayers and the offerings are things that combine. They mix, they mingle in the heavenly altars. Yes. That's why when Solomon offered up thousands of bullocks, it caused the glory of God to fall into the temple. People don't know, you see, money is everything to you. Money is everything to many people. But money is not everything to you in Jesus' name. But money is a lot of things. So when you see what people do with money, you really see, and you see, God said that, he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. So it's like money will, it presents itself as an alternative to God. So if you don't subdue it, it will take over your life. And you see, many people, if you offer them money, they even give up Christ. And it happened to Judas. Yes. So you have to be very careful. And that is why tithe is a kind of cancellation. And that's why it says you worship with it. back to Deuteronomy. He says, you worship before the Lord. So you bring the tithe and you worship God with it. That is why when Saul's goats were lost and he was looking for his donkeys and his goats, he said, look, let us find an offering to take, because it's like the offering opens a door to connect to the prophet. Yes. Yes. It's amazing. So back to our tithing. You worship with it. Verse 11. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord has given unto thee and to thy house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Now listen. You know, I am saying to you, and I'm prophesying to you.
Prophesy.
And what I'm saying will happen.
We believe it.
That you are not only going to receive things, but you will have the ability to rejoice.
Amen.
And be happy.
Amen.
You know, many people are not happy. Sometimes somebody gives you a good relationship, and they are still not happy. It gives you a good husband, they are still not happy. A good wife, you are still not happy. A good job, you are still not happy. A good church, you are still not happy. Everything, you are not happy. Now God is saying, he's going to give you the power to rejoice in every good thing which the Lord is giving to you.
I receive it.
Verse 12. Now, when thou hast made an end of tithing. See, this is the tithe. This Deuteronomy 26 is the tithe chapter of the Bible. Yes, it's the tithe chapter. It's the chapter which explains tithing from beginning to end. It says, when thou hast made an end of tithe. In other words, when you finish paying your tithe. All right? Of the tithe of thine increase. Of the third year, which is the year of tithing. And has given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. So you can see that tithing is for all these things. These are the uses of tithes. Our church, your church, I should say our church, your church, your church. We are not a government, but we pay beggars every single month. We as if they are our employees. We have a huge host of beggars. Doesn't mean you should become a beggar to receive whatever. Please, let's be serious. Many of these beggars are blind, by the way. Many of them are blind. They have phones. They have helpers whom they pay to look after them. They have no way of living except to beg. Because we are not in an advanced country where they provide for such people. And for the blind. And now for the handicapped. And many other. All these widows. We have the largest orphanage. God touched my heart and led me to build the largest orphanage apart from SOS in this country. Yes. The fatherless, the orphans. And all that is theirs and all that concerns them is our concern. They have no income from anywhere. He says that all these people should eat. Go to the verse before. The verse before. Thou shalt rejoice, you see, in thy house. You see, when you are blessed, if others around you are not blessed, it's useless. Everyone for chop some. You are chopping some of the blessing of the house.
And receive it.
Verse 13. Then thou shalt say before the Lord, I have brought away the hallowed things out of thy house, and I've given them to the Levite. And you notice the priest first, then to the stranger, to the fatherless, according to your commandments, which thou hast commanded me, neither have I transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. So you see, it is a commandment from the Lord. Now, you see, if you say, but this is the Old Testament. All the blessings I read in the Old Testament, then you shouldn't be receiving them. When I was saying, ride on prosperously, you were saying, amen, amen. Now I say this, you say, this one is the Old Testament, we are not understanding, whatever. A mouth like a frog. Now, if it's not you, just keep smiling and look forward. Nobody will know that it's you. I have not disobeyed your command. Tell your neighbor, I am not disobeying any commandment concerning tithing again in my life. Those of you who've been eating tithes, verse 14. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning. People use tithe money for all sorts of things. Funerals. Buying home secondhand clothes. What do we call it? What do you call a running away with foes? Now look at two cases. I'll show you two cases. The tithe, which is God's, you've taken it to go and buy foes. Now, the cloth that you are going to buy, the man who was wearing it, you see, you know that Elijah took his garment and threw it on Elisha, and the spirit of Elijah came on Elisha. And you are taking, first of all, a tithe money. Do you understand? To go and buy a garment that an evil man or you don't know who has worn that thing, and to throw it on yourself for the spirit of that person to come on you. Hey! No, seriously. When Elijah threw his dress on him. I said, I don't wear any shirt without praying. No. No. There are many spiritual things that are happening. People don't know. Yes. You have put on something from somewhere. In addition, you have eaten a cursed thing that makes you cursed. How will it not be difficult? Continue. I have not eaten. No, go back. Into the morning. I have not eaten from my morning. Neither have I taken for any unclean use. Not given up thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord. You see, where you sow your seed. You know, one day I met somebody and he said he will not give money to this person. I said, why? He said that there is a spirit in this person. When you give to this person, your money will get finished. Yes. You see, there are places when you sow, what will grow are thorns. What will come to you is prickly. It will prickle because you invest in this thing. Thorns will come. Yes, it's not everywhere you plant a seed. And he said, I have not sown to the dead. When God gives you a ministry, are we stealing your money? Do we ask you for anything? And here you are in your house. I prophesied, I said, we will have our own church. We will do this. We are here. Exactly what I said. Practically, we are here. But I've hearkened to the voice of the Lord. Verse 15. Now you start to ask God for blessings. He says, Lord, look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people. You see, when you have paid your tithe, you can ask God to bless. Bless your people Israel and the land which thou hast given us, which you swear. Bless us and land that floweth with milk and honey. Today, Jews are so blessed and they pay so much tithe. It's part of their culture. Yeah, you should just meet Jews. You know, the reason why today, when there is a Jew in a country, you see them, is because, you know, they have some peculiarities which they don't change. One is Sabbath, Saturday. You know, if you are in Israel and you are in a hotel, on Saturday, they will not clean the room. They will not come there. You can't fly. You can't do it. You can't even get food. You go to the restaurant. They say today is the Sabbath. There is nothing that is cooked can be served. I mean, they will not move. Go to London, go Golders Green, everywhere. They don't budge. These things that Moses gave them, it's 6,000 years ago, they are following it. And for all nations, you find them as a unique, super prosperous group. All the big supermarkets in America, all the big law firms, all the big hospitals, all the banks, everything, all the high-tech things, from Facebook to even Google and Microsoft, and all are Jews. All. You can't escape their presence in the high places of the earth. Very unusual. They are not more than Akans, the whole Akan nation, or the Yorubas. It's just like a group that is special. Inventions. Mercedes-Benz was invented by Jews. Yes. And Hitler used Mercedes-Benz and tried to wipe out the history of how they had created it. His daughter, I think the daughter was called Mercedes. And he gave the name to the car. Yes. So, you are about to become a very blessed and unusual group.
I receive it.
And this is one of the practices of Jews. You must believe in it. So he says, now look down and bless. Verse 16, next verse. This day, the Lord thy God has commanded these statutes, and thou shalt keep and do them with all thy heart and thy soul. Continue. And thou hast avowed this day to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, to keep his commandment. This is what God says. I say, I want 10% of your money. I say, I want 10% of your money. I say, I want 10% of your money. You believe in God or not? You believe in God or not? I want 10% of your money. That's all. That's what God says. I want 10% of all your, everything you have. I want 10%. Governments charge as much as 50-60% tax. God says, I just want 10% of your money. And he says, and you come to God and say, I have followed it. Since I was in Form 5, I've been paying tithes. I've kept your statutes. I've kept your commandments. I've kept your judgment. I've hearkened to your voice. Verse 18. And the Lord has avowed thee this day. Look at this. These are the English words you need. He says, to be his peculiar people. You see, that is what it is like, unusual. Look, this world is full of hustling. Unless God blesses you to be his peculiar, you will never be peculiar. You will be among the majority. Majority are not peculiar. Majority are hustling. Look, I've been a pastor since I was 25 years old, pastoring the same people. What do people have as I've pastored them? Most people have eaten, drunk, have somewhere to stay. Basically, that's about it. Most people will live and die, basically, with average of nothing. To be peculiar is where the blessing is. And I prophesy that you are going to be one of the peculiar people.
I receive it.
Verse 19. To make thee high above all nations. You see, you can't deny that the Jewish nation is high above. You can't deny it. And this is one of their main practices. The tenth. It is for God. Beautiful. He says, to make thee high above all nations which he has made. Listen, and this is how you are going to be high. In praise. Like when people see you, they just start singing. When they just see you, they say, to God be the God. They just have to find a song. When they see how your life has turned out, the first thing is to praise, not to feel sorry. There are some people, when you see them, you start to feel sad. Oh God. Number two, in name. He wants to make you high in name, that when your name is mentioned, there will be some respect.
I receive it.
Receive a respectful name in Jesus' name. And then in honor. In honor. Respect. I didn't write the Bible. The Bible is there. Right for you. Beautiful. So God is showing you here that in name, in praise, in honor, is going to make you special.
I receive it.
Yes. From what? Tithing. And I like it because, see, it's not even saying how it's going to give you more money and whatever. But you can see that life is more than money. Yes. Now, the big question is, what is the spiritual power that is released? Amen. And that is what I want you to see. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 10. Deuteronomy 28. Amen. Now all the people shall see that thou art blessed. Amen. Verse 11. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. Receive plenty goods. And then, verse 12. The Lord shall open thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give thee rain. Unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Now, heavens are a very important place, the heavens. So God has great blessings for you in the heavens. So that is why he said in verse 12, God will open his good treasure. God has a treasure, and he's going to open the treasure to give. And the treasure is the heaven. Heaven has his treasures. Heaven has parcels. Heaven has treasures. So God will open his treasure, the heavens, okay, and to give you rain to your land in season. Now, I tell you, it's only when you are into farming that you understand the importance of rain, because we don't really... When it rains here, we are not happy because of all our problems. But rain is prosperity. So the thing that tithes does is that it opens something in heaven. Now, heaven is a real place. And when that place is open, turn to Malachi chapter 3. This is what we all know. Malachi chapter 3. And what does it say? Bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, and I will open you the windows of heaven. Amen. I will open you the windows of heaven. So it means heaven has windows. Yeah. Heaven has windows. And when I open the windows of heaven, I will pour you out a blessing. So heaven has blessings stored up, ready for you. Healing for you. Money for you. Cars. You see, the Bible says the things that are seen are made out of things that are not seen. Things you see, they are made out of things that are not seen. A beloved you see is made out of something you don't see. Yes. You know, one day I remember some years ago, somebody came and gave an offering. I knew immediately that she was going to get married. Nobody had ever proposed to her before, since she was born. Yeah. But when she came forward, I said, wow. I remember clearly. Clearly. Because I saw it. I saw it with my eyes, spiritual eyes, my third eye. And I'm seeing certain things with my third eye.
Prophesy.
Yes. Are you listening?
Yes.
Heaven has windows. Heaven has treasures. Heaven contains what you need. Yes. But what will let the things that are in heaven fall out on you? That's the big thing. And the Bible is saying the tithe will open the windows that are in heaven. You say, I don't believe the windows. There are windows. There are real windows which are holding back things. I'm telling you. And I've been paying tithe for years and unlocking. Sometimes one window has three locks. Here, here, here. So that's why sometimes you open. It takes time to open. It's opening by 3 years of tithe. And now it's opened. Anytime the Bible has mentioned windows in heaven being opened, it has always been dramatic. Yes, anytime. It's always dramatic. And I am declaring that there will be opening of windows over your life.
I receive it.
From this time onwards.
I receive.
Now, Genesis chapter 7.
Prophesy.
As we getting towards the end. Genesis 7, verse number 9. Yeah. No, we have not ended. We have not ended. Look, you know, there are two things about me that you must know. One is I've been to school, educated and working. Number two, I am a prophet.
Come on.
And number three, I've been a pastor for some years. What I'm saying is what I've seen. People don't easily prosper unless God has some special mercy on you. You just be average. You never be peculiar. I don't want to pretend. Big Daddy, true or not true? It's true. If you are around for some time, you see. Unless God does something. Unless there's some provocation of the heavens. And I see some shutters.
I receive
some heavenly windows.
Prophesy.
Opening.
Prophesy.
Genesis 7, verse 9. Watch it. Watch it. Then they went in two and two to the ark as God commanded them. Verse 10. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Verse 11. And notice, there was a flood. But in the 600th year of Noah's life, Noah was 600 years old. So you see, even life is from God. Why by around 70, 80, you see that you are finishing? Ofe, yomo, ofe, numo, huh? In the second month, 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. So there is a great deep. Yeah. And then the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and nights. You see, when the windows of heaven are open, what helps the earth? No, sit down. I'll show you. There's a great miracle going on. Do you know, years ago, before 1960, people saw Venus as a twin planet of Earth, as a twin. Twins, they are twins. They look like twins. Because Venus is about the same size of Earth. It's nearer the sun. And 1 year on Venus is 225 days. For us, 1 year is 365 days. It goes around faster. And a day is 243 days. So it's 1 day is longer than 1 year on Venus. Now, we were so attracted by Venus. Because actually, one of the names of Venus is the morning star. That's actually the morning star. It's sometimes brighter. And it comes just before the dawn. And sometimes when it overtakes the earth in speed, because it's going faster, then it becomes the evening star. Yeah. Art students wouldn't understand this. Science students can see me after church. We'll continue to discuss. But in 1962, when they were first able to get a spaceship to go there, they were shocked. Yes. You see, when we talk about God opening the windows and rain falls, when they got to Venus, you see, you can't really see Venus. You can't see because of the clouds. Yeah. But not knowing that the clouds were made of sulfuric acid. And the rain that is raining on Venus is sulfuric acid rain. Pure acid. You wouldn't want to go there for holidays. It is the hottest planet in the universe. Yes. Even though it's not as near as Mercury to the sun. And you see that for God to say, I open the windows of heaven. You see, all the things on earth are supernatural. It's all miraculous. The earth was just like Venus. When you go to Venus, there's nothing. No, there's nobody there. The atmosphere is carbon dioxide. You can't breathe. Thick carbon dioxide. And the pressure in Venus is like if you are in a swimming pool and you go down. You see, sometimes those of you who swim, the pressure, it's like going down 1 kilometer into the sea. That's the pressure that is on Venus. They wouldn't want to be there. Very pressurized. So the earth and the sun, the moon, the stars, the planet, they are controlled by God's power. And there was nothing on earth and God made it. And he has windows. And the windows open. And then the rain comes. Everything changes in your life. Jesus. Everything changes in your life. It's decided by God. That's why they've been looking for human beings and other creatures. They can't find nobody. You see, our eyes are closed. You see, when Adam and Eve were on earth at first, their eyes, you see, Satan came and said, if you eat this, your eyes will be open. But actually, that is when their eyes were open. They were seeing things. Yeah, they were seeing. They were seeing God. God was coming every day. They could see him. God came every day to come and fellowship with us. Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? And before God came, they had sewed lips. Because they didn't want God to see them. Their eyes rather close or open, another set of eyes open and one set seemed to close. So all these things like windows in heaven, The things you were seeing before, we are not seeing them anymore. But they are there. And that is why it only takes faith to walk with God. Belief. You see, when he says we walk by faith, not by sight, means you need eyes to be walking. So when you have faith, it's like a type of eye. Because you walk by faith, it's like the eye is not the eye, but another eye is the eye of faith. So I don't see the windows of heaven with my physical eye, but with another eye, I'm seeing the windows in heaven. That is the third eye. That's the third eye. I mean, since you were born, have you seen any animal speaking apart from in this film, Planet of Apes? Have you seen any animal that speaks? Hello, yeah, my name is this. You can eat this and you feel good. And I mean, let's be serious. You need your eye, another eye, to be open to see. So those windows, you may not know. You may say, but I'm looking into the sky. I can only see an angel sitting by me, wearing blue, like this blue. Yeah, I always remember the color. And I remember when I was sitting by the window, I was on the right side, it was on my left. Yeah, it was like something like this, blue. Yeah. Always I remember. I say, even when the Lord appeared to me, he didn't speak to me, but he was standing by my side. White. That's the time I felt the dirtiest after 7 days of fasting. I've never felt dirtier than that day. It was at the end of 7 days fasting. And I thought that this is a bad man standing here. Yes. But you see, unless the eye opens, and I'm pointing to other prosperity, look, there is a window. That window is unlocked by a tithe. Yeah. And that window affects even the rain, the treasures. 2 Kings 7, verse 1, quickly. And Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Tomorrow by this time, a measure of flour will be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel. Shekel, when you go to Israel, that's the currency, shekel. You change your dollar into shekels. Yeah. You'll be in Israel soon. Now, the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered and said, behold, if God would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? You see, this is the ignorant speaking. And you are making fun of what the prophet says and of spiritual things. He says, if God would make windows in heaven, can if there was something like windows in heaven. And there are. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. Because in the chapter before, people were boiling their children and eating them because there was a siege. There was the highest kind of crisis. And said, how can it be? So don't speak in a foolish way. Don't think. That's why I say, I'm telling you that if at all I've been to school. Yes. If at all I've been a pastor for some years with the same people. If at all I am a prophet, if to nobody, at least to you. And I'm telling you something, there it is there. And I believe I can even see myself in heaven. I'll be going inspecting the windows. I said, so these are the windows, eh? It's one of my plans for getting to heaven. There are places to visit. I said, can you take me to the windows? So yeah, we take you there on Friday. So what about before Friday? So we have some other things to do. We're going around and so on. Friday, we go windows of. I said, wow! You should say to people are in heaven now taking pictures by the windows of heaven. So these are the things that are being provoked by tithes. Yes! And the people didn't believe that there are windows in heaven. We tell them they think it's a figment of imagination. I was so shocked the day I was casting out devils. And I said to the demon, come out. And I said, when did you come here? He said, we came. I said, how come you're able to come here? He said, the belt of truth was loose. The demons were speaking. The belt of... I was shocked. I thought the belt of truth was like some kind of poetry that Paul was talking about, the belt of truth, the literary, some literature, you know, something poetical. He was trying to imagine that. The demon said the belt of truth was loose. That's how come I was able to come here. It's a real thing. 2 Kings chapter 7. We are ending. Look at it. Now, before you end, those of you who mock, you mock the concept of windows in heaven. Watch what happened to people who mock it. Verse 3. Then there were four lepers. You see, God will now choose oddities. One day I was coming through the VIP lounge and I saw one of our famous footballers. Famous, I don't want to mention his name, but you know the most famous ones. Sitting there. And God said, look at this one. He has not been to school. The people that are coming to meet you have been to university. They don't have anything. This man has not been to school. He only plays, he scores goals. Huh? He's coming to the VIP lounge, traveling first class, a millionaire. Education has not gotten you too far. Look at him there. Windows. Wealth, eh? It is from God. Oh. Four lepers. God now has chosen four lepers. And he said, why do we sit here till we die? Verse 4, quickly. And we say, if we enter this, we shall die. Let's go. Verse 5. So they rose up in the morning. Huh? And they were going with their leprosy legs. And as they rose up in the twilight, verse 6, for the Lord had made the Syrians to hear them sound like chariots. You see, God can make you who looks like a leper type of person, you become like a chariot.
I receive it.
Verse 7. Wherefore they arose and they fled. And they left their tents, their horses, and their camp, and they fled for their life. First of four lepers. Wow. Look, those of you who don't believe in supernatural things, don't come to this church again. As soon as we close, just go and join another religion, please. When these lepers came to the city, they went into one tent, they ate, they drank, and then they saw silver, gold, raiment. Hey, then they went and hid it and came again. Entered another tent. They were collecting so much. Verse 9. Then they said one to another, we are not doing well. This is a day of good tidings. Let us go and tell others because some mischief will come to us if we don't tell, because we have so much now. Verse 10. So they came and called the porter of the city and they told him, saying, look, we came to the camp of the Syrians. There is nobody there. Verse 11. And the king called the porters and they told to the king's house. 12. And the king, they arose in the night. And the Syrians, they were scared. And then verse 13. One of his servants said, let's take some. 5 of the horses that remain. All right. And go there. Let us see. Let us send and see. Let us see. Maybe, I don't know, it's a miracle. Verse 14. Then they took 2 chariots, horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went to Jordan. All the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel. And 2 measures of barley for 1 shekel. When you go to Israel, everybody has to get at least 1 shekel. Now, this is a famous miracle. 1 measure of flour, 1 shekel. 2 measures of barley, 1 shekel. It's like 1 city. Yeah. Just as the prophet said. Those who are mocking windows of heaven. Verse 17. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned, the one who made that funny remark, to be in charge of the gate. He said, stay here by the gate. Okay? And the people trod upon him. I mean, they were rushing. They just stampeded over him. And he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. Verse 18. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley, 1 shekel. 1 measure of fine flour, 1 shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time. Tomorrow about this time. In the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven. That comment angered God. When we say tithe will open the windows of heaven, you make funny comment about the windows of heaven. It provokes God. So say that man who said the windows of heaven, if the windows of heaven might such a thing be, he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. Yes. Yes. Beautiful. Is there another verse? I think this is the last verse. Yes. Beautiful. So, today I'm prophesying to you like great and powerful things. And I'm saying that tithe, remember it. Even if you are not in this church, any church you belong to, once you are Christian, it's not about this church, it's for you. God doesn't need you. You need God. Or if not, notice that you need God. How many have noticed that you need God more than God needs you? Yes, I need God. God doesn't need me. Yes, I need God. And God is saying, I want 10% of your money. Yes, that's all. I don't want 20%. I don't need 30%. I just need 10% of your money. That's all. It's for me. Present it to me and there'll be peace. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Every time you honor God with your tithe. You see, I want to say this. Those of you may think I don't have much money. No. You have to learn it now. Otherwise, when it starts to increase, you will forget it. Yeah. When it starts, and it's going to start to increase. Watch my prophecies. Watch them.
Professor.
It's going to start to increase.
I receive it.
Watch them. I say, watch my prophecies.
I receive it.
It's going to start to increase.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Stand to your feet and lift your hands. Now, notice Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10 together. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance, the first fruits. So shall thy barns be filled. Lift your hands and commit yourself to God. For the rest of my life, for the rest of my days, my tithe belongs to Jesus. Lord, I worship you with my money. My offerings and my prayers will join forces in the heavenlies to put pressure on the windows of heaven to bring a release. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Put your hands down for a moment. How many realize you have not been paying tithes as you ought to? Raise your hand. Raise your hand, yes. You know, I know it. I know. Many of us don't pay tithes. Yeah. But without paying tithes, you cannot. You know, I want you to believe the prophecies that are coming, the words that are being spoken, because they are great spiritual words.
Amen.
I'm not talking to you about something anybody needs. It's what you need.
Amen.
Father, I thank you.
Yes, Lord.
For mercies.
Yes, Lord.
For our financial lives from today.
Yes, Lord.
Now, promise to the Lord that from today, as a young person till you are old, ask for 10%. It is the Lord's. Whatever land and blessing God gives to me, the tithe, it is the Lord's. Thank you, Father, for the victory that you give to us.
Yes, Lord.
In our financial situation.
Yes,
Lord. We are thankful. We are praising you for the tithe.
Jesus.
The tithe.
Yes, Lord.
The tithe. Amen. 10%. It is the Lord's.
Yes, Lord.
We give you praise. And we give you thanks. in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you for this moment. If you are here this morning, afternoon, and you've not given your life to Jesus, you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to God. Maybe somebody invited you, but you are not a born-again Christian. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you are here like that, lift up your right hand. I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want your hand to be up. If you are here like that, I'm just asking you once, and I'm going to pray. But this is your chance. This is your chance to turn around and give your life to Jesus. If you've lifted your hand, you want to be born again, you want to give your life to God, and you've lifted your hand, come to me in the front here, and I'm going to pray. Come, and stand here. Let them come all the way. Stand here. God bless you. Let us pray. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins.
Please forgive me for my sins.
Today, I give my heart to you.
I give my life to you. I give my life to you.
Please wash away my sins.
Please wash away my sins.
Cleanse me.
Forgive me.
Wash me.
Today,
I give my heart.
To Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
For saving me.
Today. All of you say after me, say Jesus. Please write my name in the book of life. Please wash me
with the blood of Jesus.
I give my heart.
I give my soul.
I give my everything
to Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you.
Now, before you go back, I want to give you one of my books. This book is a ticket. Are you listening to me? Hello? Are you listening to me? I want to give you my book. It's called How You Can Become a Strong Christian. Would you like to be a strong Christian? How many would like to be a strong Christian? That's why I'm giving you this book. Now, if you have this book, as soon as we close, hello? Are you looking at me? If you have this book, as soon as we close, come to this side here. If you don't have the book, don't come, please. You are not invited. But if you have the book, come to the side here. As soon as we close, we are going to share something with you, and then you go home. Okay? Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Father, let them be stabilized.
Yes, Lord.
And established.
Yes, Lord.
In you like never before. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may go back to your seats. It's time for communion. You may be seated for a moment. Now, listen. You know, when I was in an Orthodox church, I felt that communion was just for remembrance. Symbolic. You get what I'm saying? And you know, all my life, you know, I'm not so much of a man of formalities. I like real realities. Everybody say realities. Yes. So I don't want something that is just a formality. They say you have to do this, you sit down, come, stand up, do this. No, I want something real. So that is why I was not attracted to church in those days, till I found Jesus as a real person. You see, my Christian experience is very real for me. Jesus has changed my life. Now that I've found Christ, I it's so real to me. I don't like formalities. No. I want something real. Amen. Now, with the Holy Communion, the Bible says that because they didn't drink it and eat it worthily, they were eating and drinking damnation to themselves. And he said that some were sick Some were weak, and some were even dying. So you see, the communion is not something symbolic. If it was symbolic, it's like clothes. I don't just receive clothes. You know, you are taking an Obroni way with somebody. He may have been even a murderer. You don't know the spirit the person was carrying. You have put on the garment. Maybe he was a prisoner. And a prisoner's anointing comes upon you to become a prisoner one day. In Jesus' name. Yes. So it's all these things, they look symbolic, but there are so many meanings and they are spiritual things. Yes, beautiful. So the Bible says that some are weak. Now, if communion can make somebody weak, then it means it can also make him strong. And you heard the testimony today. Kidney failure. What was it you said? End stage. Now, I don't know whether you know what is end stage kidney failure, but you wouldn't want to really know about it. End stage is the stages, but it's the end. And the kidney is unlike other organs. You can't make it come back. You know, the heart, when the heart is failing, there's a drug you can give, and it makes the heart sort of strengthen. It's like if you are running and the person is tired, you can give an injection and then the muscles will sort of be alive and beat. I'm talking about the heart. There's a drug like that. It makes the heart which is getting tired. There's a drug we take, then it makes stronger beats. But there's nothing like that for the kidney. Kidney, if it's finished, it's finished. If it's spoiled, it's spoiled. So that's what they mean by end stage. But he took the communion, and the power of God came in. You see, again, you may not want to acknowledge, but you always have to acknowledge God. You will have a thousand reasons why. As you see, if you see me standing here, you may explain my presence here. But you see, my presence here is God. That's the explanation. That's why you are here. God brought you here. God led you here. That's why I said that when God has blessed you and God has done this, lest you say that your power in your hand and circumstances have brought you there. It's a very dangerous thing to say. Don't talk like a fool. You must acknowledge the power of God. That's why I said in Deuteronomy 8, never say that the circumstances or your hand, your work, your this, your that have made things as they are. But you say that it is God's power that has brought me to where I am. So, as we are here receiving, Shigolama Shandola Baka. Kayomba Laba Sunday Batana Mandoba Laba Laba Shimbala. Tila Makole. Mando Kayanda Lababa Lababa. I speak into your life.
Prophecy.
Whatever is sick.
Yes, Daddy.
Whatever is weak.
Speak, Daddy.
Whatever is dead.
Yes.
By the power of Jesus.
Professor.
And the power of his body. You are receiving life.
I receive it.
Stand to your feet.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.
Thank you.
Drink, this is my blood, which is poured out for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life.
You are receiving life.
Oh, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break.
My flesh,
the communion of
is
the body
meat
of Christ.
Thank you.
Oh, this is the holy meal, this is the meal of God.
Father, we declare this to be your body.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, your flesh is meat indeed.
Yes.
It means that it's actually meat. Lord, by this meat may we be healed.
Amen.
Of every diagnosis, every curse,
I
receive
every plague.
I receive it.
Every secret disease.
I receive it.
Every developing condition.
Yes, Lord.
Every undiagnosed condition.
Yes, Lord.
Every swelling.
Yes, Lord.
Every lump.
In Jesus.
Every cancer.
Yes.
Every tumor.
Amen.
Every eye disease.
Amen.
Receive healing.
Yes.
By the power of the body of the meat that you are about to receive, may healing and strength and life enter into all of us.
I receive it.
By the power of God.
I receive
the body of Jesus Christ. Want the filthy rags to be washed with the blood.
Yes.
Father, we now come before you with this blood, Jesus. May our sins be forgiven.
Yes, Lord.
May our mistakes be overlooked.
Yes, Lord.
May the reaping of our sins be neutralized.
Jesus.
May the harvest of our sins not come into our lives.
Amen.
In our lifetime.
Yes, Lord.
Father, whatever is evil, wicked,
yes, Lord.
Sinful,
yes, Lord.
Fallen,
yes,
in our lives, through this blood which we lift up at this time, may we be clean.
Amen.
As we receive this drink of life,
Jesus,
may life come into every life.
Yes, Lord.
Whatever will have killed you this week cannot kill you anymore.
Amen.
Because you are about to receive a drink of life.
Amen.
Whatever would have poisoned you this week,
Lord,
cannot poison you anymore.
Amen.
Your life is spared.
Yes,
I say your life is spared.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Receive healing.
I receive it.
I see a bed. Somebody is in a bed.
Professor,
I discharge you from that bed.
I receive it.
I discharge you from a place of sorrow.
I receive it.
From a place of evil.
Yes, Lord.
From a hospital.
Prophesy.
From a bed of sickness and affliction.
Prophesy.
I command you to arise.
Speak, prophet.
Go to your house.
Prophesy.
Go to your house.
Yes, Lord.
And be healed.
In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. Receive healing.
I receive it.
Receive forgiveness.
I receive it.
Receive mercies.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus.
The blood that Jesus shed,
let's sing this
for
song.
Me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day
to day. It will never.
It will never.
And it reaches.
Oh, and it reaches to the highest mountain, mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley.
Valley!
Oh, the blood,
the blood
that gives me strength
from day,
from day to day.
Lift your hand and receive your blessing. I stretch my hand into your stomach.
Jesus.
Into your body.
Yes, Lord.
I extract from you.
Yes, prophet.
Whatever is a curse.
Yes.
Whatever is a sickness.
Yes, Lord.
Whatever is a plague.
I receive.
Whatever is a disease.
I receive.
Whatever is a bad news.
I
say out in the name of Jesus. Be healed in your eyes. Be healed in your ears.
I receive it.
Be healed in your whole body.
I receive it.
Whatever is a curse in your family.
Professor.
I disconnect you from every curse.
I receive it.
Whatever plague you have received through a second-hand clothing.
Yes, prophet.
I disconnect you from evil spirits in the name of Jesus. Whatever has attached itself to your life, to your leg, I say the chain is broken today in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Receive life.
I receive it.
Receive healing.
I receive it.
And receive good news in your life.
I receive it.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever represents poverty.
Yes.
Whatever represents need.
Yes, Lord.
Whatever represents lack.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. I command it to die and to wither in your life.
I receive it.
Take out your phones.
Prophesy.
Take your phone.
Prophesy. Speak, prophet.
Take out your phones. Lift it up. May you have good news through your phone.
I receive it.
Receive good news.
I receive it.
Receive good news.
I receive it.
Whatever represents a bad phone call.
Hey.
A bad phone call.
Hey.
I say bad phone call. Go away. 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 Go away.
Go away.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Go away. Professor.
Lift your phone. Whatever represents your money, your
yes.
money that you have in this world.
Yes, prophet.
I speak to your phone representing your money and your finances.
Speak, daddy. Speak.
I command it to be new. I say be new. Be new.
Be new.
Be new. Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Be new.
Be new.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your bank account.
Speak.
Your pockets, your bag,
yes,
your
prophet.
Secret places.
Yes.
They are commanded to overflow now in Jesus' name.
I receive
name.
It.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
I receive it.
Now lift your hand again.
Yes.
I speak to the air. To the windows of heaven.
Speak, my
God. The atmosphere. The angels.
Yes.
Big angel.
Hey.
It's your turn.
Yes, Lord.
Arola, laba, laba, lo,
I receive it. I receive it. Prophesy.
You know, in the night, I don't know whether it was this night or last night, as I was praying, God sent a big angel. Big one. May the big angel that has arrived
prophesy,
fight for you and fight for your cause.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive it.
Your life is turned around because of the power of God.
I receive it.
Let the big angel of the Lord fight every battle in your life.
In Jesus' name.
The enemies and the Egyptians you are seeing today,
hey,
because of the big angel that
prophesy.
Has been released, you shall see them no more.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus. Whatever represents a castle,
prophesy.
A fortress,
speak.
A stronghold.
Speak, man of God.
I speak to you, I say,
speak.
Crumble and vanish
yes.
in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Lift your phone again. Your phone again. Now receive power. in your life. Power. Receive text messages.
I receive it.
And WhatsApps.
I receive it.
That change your life for the better.
I receive it.
Receive it from heaven now in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Finally, miracle money.
I receive it.
Descend upon the telephones now in Jesus' name.
Prophesy.
There are some here, you are receiving miracle money in tens. Some are receiving in hundreds.
Prophesy.
Some are receiving in thousands.
Prophesy.
Some are receiving in millions.
Prophesy.
Receive it in the name of Jesus. Now lift your two hands and thank God.
Thank you.
Thank God. You can lift it with your phone as well. Just thank God. Just thank God. Just thank God. Thank God. You will hear good news. You will read a WhatsApp by a text and start laughing.
Yes, Lord.
And you will not stop laughing.
Yes, Lord.
For a long time to come.
Yes.
Father, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For victory. Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
Give the Lord a shout of praise.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dyke-Ward Mills, please visit our website at www.dyke-wardmills.org. God richly bless you.